Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
So good to have you with us. It is live and local now for a Friday. As we mentioned, on the morning of November 7th, I promised that we would be talking with people all across the state to try and figure out what happened in the 2018 midterm elections and what we can do as a party and as citizens, to make sure it does not happen again. Because beginning on Monday, the 80th Nevada legislature is going to change our state radically. And I didn't use that term radically without thinking. The radicals are in control of our state government. We've got a liberal governor, a liberal legislature, and we are only one vote away in the state Senate. Thank you, Keith Pickard, from being able to stop tax increases. It's unbelievable. Byron Brooks had hoped to be in the state Senate. Didn't happen. Ran for state Senate. But he's a part of the Nevada Republican Coalition that is not only looking for answers as to what happened back in November of 2018, but looking ahead to 2020, what is it we can and should be doing? And Byron Brooks joins us in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Great to see you again, Kevin.
You have such an amazing history. Before we go too far, I just want to take me through your recent resume. You've led a life that a lot of people could only dream of, some of the stuff you've done.
All right. You're gonna have to cue me in on what you might be referring to. Are you talking about post primary, pre-primary, what?
Pre-primary. I'm talking about your service, the fact that you've been around the world.
Sure. So I was in the Army, got out, went to school, and then went overseas as a contractor, essentially working for the Department of Defense, and then later on the State Department. The areas that I worked in are considered high threat environment work. I loved what I did. I've got a family, so it was time to resign a position that I had at a Special Operations Training Center in the Middle East as an instructor and come home and be a full-time father and husband.
And I love that. I just wanted to get that out, that okay. You've worked in the service of our country in ways other than just the military, which, of course, you did serve in.
Sure.
I want to ask you what you learned. As you know, when we have candidates in, I always ask them, one of the first questions I ask them is, why the hell are you doing this? You're spending your own money. you're maxing out your credit cards.
Right.
You're spending every night walking neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You're going
yeah.
to every dinner
event,
and,
sure.
and candidate event.
Right.
And for what?
Right. It's an exhausting process, and I can tell you that I would do it again starting tomorrow. Right. I enjoyed what I did as a candidate. I thoroughly enjoyed getting out in the community, having conversation with people to find out what things that they wanted to see a change in. How could we make our community better, and how can we make the state better? So I enjoyed my time, and I enjoyed the process.
So what did you think of the process? And if you were to take something away from this foray to try and become a state senator, did you learn anything from it? What to do?
Well,
next time, what not
sure.
to do next time?
So there's a lot of lessons that you can gain, but they're lessons that have to be gained on the job, right? Because there's only so much that especially as a new candidate, someone a first time run for an elected office can relate to through somebody else's eyes or conversation. So for me, there was a lot of on the job training that I got in terms of which conversations to have with people, how to set things up, how to make sure that support is in line to get things done. But again, I really enjoyed what I did.
I want to ask you about the next step, and that is the Nevada Republican Coalition.
Right.
Explain what it is and why it is.
So the Nevada Republican Coalition was set up so that essentially we can be an organization that'll act as a conduit to support the unification of Republican organizations throughout the state in effort to strengthen the party and bring conservatives together in support of current and future Republican elected officials. We really want to be able to work to do, some task items that we have that would be, an increase in voter registration. We want to be able to get out, increase the amount of people who are going to vote Republican. We want to support messaging that would clearly explain to someone why they might want to register Republican and vote Republican. We want to be able to do community outreach, and essentially that's what working with other Republican organizations and clubs throughout the state. We really want to be able to get everybody together on the same page, right? So one of the things that I learned as a candidate is that there is sometimes frustration in groups and organizations that are hosting events. And as a candidate, you want to make yourself available for all of those events. But if you've got three organizations running three events on the same day, it really makes it difficult, right? So what we want to be able to do is streamline this process of where a candidate might be based on the events that organizations are having. So even something as simple as that would make a change through the candidate's eyes for sure. And really, as an organization, we kind of want to set ourselves up so that we're working with other organizations. So again, we can be the conduit to help logistically with what's happening on calendar events so that, candidates know exactly what's going on. And the workload for them might be a little less in terms of the meetings at events.
Again, joining us, Byron Brooks, former candidate for state senate, and now a member of the Nevada Republican Coalition. And I want to ask you, because a lot of people, in looking back at 2018, they say, well, maybe we didn't vet our candidates as well as we should have. Will the Nevada Republican Coalition, will you be a part of vetting? Are you vetting candidates right now across the state?
So here's the thing in terms of vetting. I think what we have is we've got many organizations across the state, right, working on someone that they feel might be a good candidate for a seat somewhere. The problem is there's no communication with other organizations that they may have someone. And so really what we want to do, I wouldn't necessarily call it vetting, is we just want to, again, be able to logistically support other organizations in terms of what they have going on so that it's known that an organization out at Red Rock has a candidate for their area, which means we don't have to do a whole lot of searching or finding. And again, it's just enabling, I think, clearer and concise communication in terms of what the party has going on, but through different organizations within that party.
It sounds like what you're trying to do is find consensus among all these organizations about a particular candidate in a particular district.
That'll certainly be one spoke on the wheel, I think, of how things can get done as we move forward with this coalition and draw additional support and educate other organizations in terms of what we're doing. Because we certainly don't want to come in and make it seem like we have all the answers and that we don't have all the answers. We just want to be a driving force for solutions.
Let me ask you, Byron. We know that elections have consequences, and we are already seeing that. The election of Steve Sisolak as governor, a supermajority in the assembly, within one vote of a supermajority in the state Senate, where you wanted to be. And I'm curious, we're already seeing the governor, for instance, has already said that he's looking to offload the so-called opportunity scholarships, $20 million passed in the last legislative session for it. And now we're seeing that that is probably going to go by the boards because the governor has written it out of the budget.
Right. So that's a great subject to discuss right now. Right. So look, opportunity scholarships essentially passed in 2015. As a part of a school choice option in the form of scholarship. It was primarily funded by business donations, and then those businesses who donated got tax deferment or tax credit on the modified business tax or what we'll call the payroll tax. Essentially, the scholarship allows parents to send their children to any of the 90 participating private schools in the state, and these awards can be worth up to about $8,000 per child per year depending on the level of household income. Essentially, what we're looking at is the federal poverty guideline as a scale to determine who might be eligible. And really, the Nevada Department of Education determines the max amount of award. So to be eligible, students have to live in a household whose income falls below 300% of the federal poverty line. And that's roughly about $75,000 for a family of four. So the income cutoff guarantees that students from lower and middle income households can receive the scholarship. This gives children whose parents probably couldn't afford to send their children to private school the opportunity to send some really great schools that we have in the state. So, you know, look, my thinking is that parents shouldn't be forced to send their children to a low-performing school because of where they live. And we have to include school choice when we're examining education in Nevada. And opportunity scholarships and school choice expand the educational opportunity for many children where none has previously existed. In its 4 years since conception, the program has grown from 500 scholarships awards to over 2,000 awards. That's a large increase for the amount of children who are receiving the education benefit of the program. So you brought up some of the things that we have to take a look at to be concerned with, right? So that essentially that $20 million was a one-time allocation, and that happened last session. That was part of this ESA breakdown.
It was kind of the consolation prize.
That's right. Okay. So the legislation provided a tax credit for up to $32 million to fund the program for 2018 and 19, which also includes that $20 million that you're talking about. That's part of the deal. However, there's Democratic legislators, including the governor, who are talking about cutting back the funding allocation or eliminating altogether. So that's one of the main concerns, is that allocation being eliminated. The second concern is that rather than using the 300% of the federal poverty line as a guide, legislators will vote to reduce it to 200% of the poverty line. So right now, about 6% of scholarships are awarded were given to children who fall in that 300% poverty line. Most fall in about the 250% poverty line. So if there's a reduction in percentage below 250, then you can count on approximately 956 students who are currently in school via the program will lose their scholarship. And of those students, about 69% are minority or low-income students. So the end result of this is that we've got to be able to have these opportunity scholarships, and we've got to be able to figure out different ways to fund our education so that we have an increase in the capability of our schools.
More coming up. Byron Brooks joining us, former candidate for state Senate, now with the Nevada Republican Coalition. We're going to talk about some of the problems facing not just Republicans, but Democrats as well. It's called anti-Semitic groups, language, and even the so-called MAGA hats. Are they a racial symbol? We'll talk about that and more coming up. My name is Kevin Wall. The program, Live and Local, now.
Good, how are you?
My fellow men, it's time to reclaim your love life. Take a stand against ED. No needles, no side effects, no surgery, and no pills. If you've been affected by ED, there is a better way. Call the doctors at Peak Health. Put the spontaneity back in your love life. Call Peak Health today, 702-625-4334, 702-625-4334, that's 702-625-4334, or peakhealthlife.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and five daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. Have you been wanting to start a business but just can't seem to find the time to go through the mountains of paperwork the government requires? Are you just overwhelmed by the bureaucracy and the burdensome regulations? Well, fear no more, because the Taylor Consulting Group is your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Whether it's starting a restaurant, a tavern, or a cafe, our knowledgeable staff will guide you through the licensing process. We specialize in gaming licenses, liquor licenses, and land use consulting. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
Hi, I'm Daniel Hontrew, Senior Policy Analyst for Nevada Policy. When the Nevada legislature is in session, there are a lot of special interests trying to tell lawmakers how to spend your tax dollars. Lobbyists, labor unions, cronies from all industries, they're all in Carson City trying to get a piece of your hard-earned money. So, who's speaking on behalf of you, on behalf of taxpayers? That's why this year, Nevada Policy is on the ground in Carson City. I'm here, in the legislature, making sure that real Nevadans, taxpayers, parents, and business owners have a voice this session. It's more important than ever that we take an active role this year. That's why Nevada Policy is getting more involved and making it easier for you to get involved as well. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to track the bills we're watching and to stay up to date about how lawmakers are trying to spend your money. Be sure to visit Nevada Policy's online legislative tracker to follow the issues that matter the most at NevadaPolicy.org. That's NevadaPolicy.org, because someone has to speak for taxpayers this session.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty, starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's Live and Local Now. Good to have you with us. Byron Brooks joining us in studio, former candidate for state senate. And Byron, a lot of candidates lose an election and they go into the witness protection program. you've done anything but.
That's funny.
I mean, you're out there. You're out there amongst them. You're working for other candidates.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about some of the stuff you're doing. And why it'd be easy just to go back into your cocoon and say,
right,
I got a beautiful family and all of that.
Sure.
Why?
You know what? Here's the thing. I really believe that as a candidate, if I'm out knocking, when I was out knocking on doors and I'm trying to be an advocate for change, that doesn't stop just because I lose an election. I'm still an advocate for change. So it doesn't make any sense to me to go through a campaign and then bury your head in the sand afterwards if you don't win. So having not won, what I found myself doing was supporting other great candidates. You know, I supported Melissa Hardy as much as I could in her assembly race. Currently, I'm supporting Mark Judge Stevens, who is running for a municipal court seat. And
he's got the veterans great. He's the guy. Well,
listen, he's the presiding judge of the Veterans Treatment Court, right?
I love that.
We truly were hoping that he would not draw an opponent for this race, but he ended up drawing two, and now we're going to get out and do the things that we have to do to make sure that he's got that seat for the next 6 years. I'm supporting Dave Marlin, who became a friend of mine during the course of my campaign for Ward 1 at the Las Vegas City Council. Obviously, I'm supporting Victoria Seaman, who is probably going to take that seat from Soroka. And she's been a supporter of mine for a long time. And it makes more sense for me to be out and supporting other candidates and helping where I can. Listen, sometimes it's not the position that you have to lead from the front. Sometimes it's a position where you have to be able to support those who are trying to lead from the front. And that's essentially what my role is now, to support those who are trying to get out there and be advocates for change.
Final couple of minutes. A disturbing trend in politics in the world we live in. We've got the Democrats having to bail from the National Women's March because there were elements in the Women's March that were perceived to be anti-Semitic. You've got people on the right who can't wear their MAGA hats because they are perceived to be racist. This identity politics thing is starting to get a little nasty. Does it scare you like it scares me? And what is it we can do about it? I mean, how do we as citizens?
Question. Gosh dang, you know what? It's this subject matter really frustrates me because I've seen people that I thought were friends or people that I could relate to post the hashtag MAGA sticker, which is essentially the combination of MAGA and swastika. And it's a clear indication of lack of empathy, maybe education and compassion for others. If in any manner you are equating a red MAGA hat with anything that has to do with Nazis, the Holocaust, swastikas, the KKK, it's absolutely ridiculous. I'm truly disappointed in some of the posts and rhetoric that I've seen that does come from the far left. I can't wrap my head around it. And I don't think anyone who is has, you know, clear reasonability in terms of what World War II meant and what the Holocaust meant, they wouldn't make the correlation, because there is no correlation that exists. There just isn't. We're seeing a lot of growth of anti-Semitic behavior, right? And that's what scares me. That's what frustrates me. I mean, a couple of nights ago, there were two Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn that got smacked around for doing nothing other than walking and being Orthodox Jews. We've got this guy in San Mateo, California now, who has the restaurant, who wants to tell people that if you come in wearing a MAGA hat, we're not going to serve you, because he's correlating the MAGA hat to Nazism, you know, swastikas and KKK gear. It's ridiculous. So here's what we can do, right? This Tuesday, there will be a town hall meeting titled Anti-Semitism in America at Temple Beth Shalom. It starts at 6:30. Registration is free through Eventbrite. If you're concerned with anti-Semitic behavior in your community, come out to the temple and be part of this town hall.
Byron, I thank you. If folks want to know more about the Nevada Republican Coalition, where do they go? Where do they find it?
You know what? I think, we've got some Facebook stuff going on, and then our website.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Thanks. Thank you, Kevin.
Byron Brooks joining us in studio. He's not burying his head in the sand. He is out there amongst them. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Hey, 790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too. It's live and local now. Good to have you with us. I always love it when you run into people in politics and outside of politics that desperately care about the world we live in. And they want to change it for the better. Blake Gwynn is one of those people. He is the Nevada director for Western Way. And before we go too far down the road, explain to people who don't know what Western Way is.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. One, I just want to say thank you very much for having me here today. It's been a lifelong dream. I've done everything else but radio. So,
and you, and just so people know, you've been behind the scenes. You are from the Gwynn family.
That's correct. Kenny Gwynn was my grandfather.
Exactly. And but you've been more behind the scenes. Now you're Nevada State Director for Western Way, and that puts you a little bit out front of the choir, so to speak.
It does. I've been fighting for energy choice in Nevada since about 2015. So I started working with the Western Way back in 2018. Essentially, we are an organization, we're a national organization that's focused on delivering free market solutions to energy and environmental issues around the Western U.S. specifically. And so kind of what I do is I work with local, state, and federal elected officials, and we try to do some different type of energy policy, try to change the way everybody kind of views it. So,
and I think for those that don't know, why Western Way, what is there different about where we live versus somebody in Indianapolis or in Connecticut?
Well, so the Western Way actually is, the base is in Denver. And so out in the western part of the U.S., there's so much empty land. And so there's so many rural parts of the country that are specifically on the west, and those are prime places to actually build renewable facilities that not only benefit the states and the country as a whole, but specifically those rural parts of the country.
Now, I know that your organization, your group commissioned an economic and physical study of renewables. So you will know where I've come from. I think you and I have talked off air about this, that even in the lead up to letting people choose who it is that that delivers their power, I've always been a great believer that renewables will be great if they save me money. You show me how, because in the beginning, for instance, solar panels, you had to come up with 40, 50, 60 grand to put solar panels on your roof. And maybe down the road 10 years, you might see a savings. Well, now we've got it to where I don't have to come up with $40,000 or $50,000,
right?
And I can see immediate savings. Then I'm on board. I want to ask you what did your economic and physical study of renewables show you here in Nevada?
Well, so just to start, we actually partnered with the Carson Valley Chamber of Commerce, which is out there in Minden. We actually released this report January 16th of this year. And essentially what we were trying to do was, the Carson Valley Chamber and I, we kind of take a look at it. We thought that rural communities were often overlooked when it comes to economic policies in the state of Nevada. So we really wanted to concentrate on rural Nevada, really kind of getting a fair shake in the state as energy policy moves forward. And so we want to drive the conversation on energy policy that benefits not only the state, but again, rural counties. And so how do we do that? We change energy policy in the state. So MV Energy actually, they fought question three. So the downside of question three not passing was that they were going to build six new renewable energy plants. Those six new plants have to go in rural parts of the state. Why? That's where the land is. And so our study showed that, and we'll get into the numbers here shortly, that there's a huge economical and fiscal benefit for these counties to start embracing renewable projects in their areas.
And again, this is not just in an effort to say, well, let's go green, it's good for the planet. It's good for your community.
It's fantastic. It's
good for your state or your county or your city government.
Absolutely. So in Colorado, their main utility company, Xcel, is actually shutting down their huge coal plant. And they actually put out bids for renewable wind and solar facilities. So they put out these bids, and actually what they got back were the lowest bids ever on record to build these facilities. So the pricing of renewables are falling down even below our normal, like, you know, coal, natural gas, oil. They're now super competitive. And so what that means, they cost less to build, they cost less to operate, and they cost less to maintain, which theoretically, if the Public Utility Commission does it right, should give those breaks to rate reductions over the lifetime of these facilities.
So in other words, this can ultimately save consumers money, real money.
Absolutely. And just last week, I believe it was last week, our Public Utility Commission in Nevada actually came out, and the reason why they approved these six new plants for MV Energy was because in the long run, it will save ratepayers money.
Now, I want to ask you, because one of the criticisms of renewables is that they've gotten a pretty good break relative to incentives, and that it's made renewables more affordable. In particular, the rooftop solar industry mm-hmm. has just gone crazy, but they've had the benefit of some of those incentives. Are incentives always going to be with us, you think?
Well, so one, we always have to remember that, you know, the subsidies are, you and I didn't put them in there, but if they're there, let's go ahead and take advantage of them. Every sector of the energy section is subsidized in some way by the federal government. Renewable subsidies are actually coming to an end, especially like in rooftop solar. That 30% federal tax credit will actually be coming down just next year to about 15%, and then over the next 5 years, it'll be away. But, I mean, the subsidies are there. Let's take advantage of them. Right now, with the pricing where it is, I think that the free market will continue to drive those prices down, whether or not the federal government steps in.
Where is John Q. Public relative to public opinion when it comes to renewables? And I know, you know, attitudes change over the years, but tell us where we are now. Give us the snapshot.
Yeah, so the Western Way, we actually did a poll of Western conservatives in Western states. And actually what we found is that 84% of conservatives believe that their state should pursue an all-above energy strategy with increasing renewables in their state. 94% of conservatives wanted their elected officials to pursue energy-efficient policies. 76% support doubling the amount of renewables available to consumers. And this is the one I'm trying to bring up, but 64% of conservatives believe renewable energy sources can improve their state's economy. And that was the basis of our study, was to show that renewables do boost our local economies.
Blake Wynn joining us from a group that I think you're going to be hearing a heck of a lot more about. We're talking about Western Way, and I want to ask you, we got the 80th Nevada legislature coming up. We've heard the State of the State address where Governor Sisolak talked about increasing reliance on renewables. What do you expect? This is a very Democrat-dominated legislature. You got a Democrat governor. How radical will they go? Will they steamroll legislation to make renewables the energy producer?
Sure. So from what I understand right now, if you had watched the State of the State, Heidi Gansert actually did a fantastic rebuttal to Governor Sisolak. In that rebuttal, she said that there's going to be bipartisan support in raising our renewable portfolio standard. I think 50% would be a good number to hit. My organization, myself, we're not in favor of mandates. But if our state legislator is going to do that, then let's go ahead and embrace that. There's a couple different energy bills that are also going to be coming up that I believe are very pro-business, that I believe that conservatives should be getting behind. One of those bills are community solar. And so that is for homes that can't go solar. They'll be able to opt in to purchase solar power. Then you also have a tenant solar bill, which that'll allow multifamily homes, apartments, and condos, and those types to be able to purchase solar power from the actual owner of those buildings. And so you're going to start seeing some really amazing energy policy coming forth that should be bipartisan because, one, renewables are great for the environment, but also a huge economic force. And it's a huge driver as well for our state.
The organization is called Western Way. Blake Gwynn joining us. He is Nevada State Director. Is renewable energy, is it a Republican deal? Is it a Democrat deal? Or is it becoming nonpartisan?
You know, it should be a nonpartisan issue. Like I said, renewables are fantastic for the environment. I think both sides can agree that less pollution is great. It's better for everybody. But also, when we start breaking down the economic issues of what these renewable power plants can do to not just our rural counties, but also your power bill. I mean, we look at this since 2006. There's been 29 utility-scale renewable facilities built in Nevada. That's added almost $8 billion to our state's economy. It's created over 12,000 jobs, and it's also created over $152 million in local and state tax revenue. So once we start taking a look at that, great for the environment, economic driver, it should be a nonpartisan issue.
I want to ask you, you've got the 80th Nevada legislature set to begin on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Will Western Way be a player? Will you have a seat at the table when some of this legislation is coming forward? What is it that your role will be? Are you licensed to lobby?
Actually, so yes, I just became a lobbyist, mostly just because we'll be...
You got your badge?
Yeah, I do have my badge.
All right.
That was the worst photo of ever. People complained about their driver's license. My lobbying ID is pretty bad. No, I'll actually be up there the first 2 weeks of the session. I will be going over my report with the Assembly and the Senate Republican caucuses. I'll be meeting with the Growth and Infrastructure Committees as well. And then I'll keep you informed on some of the other energy bills that are happening. And so we're trying to see where we can get involved on some of these other bills.
And I want to ask you, is there a difference? I'm trying to figure how Western Way is going to play into this. How much of what you're going to do is lobbying? How much of what you're going to do is just flat-out education of letting people know about renewables?
Well, so I think the difference, I'm a lobbyist just because I had to make sure everything, I was covering my, you know what. When it really comes down to it, I'm much like my grandfather in being an educator. And I think the main thing that we need to do, especially for the Western Way, and I think that's why they've embraced me, is to help educate Nevadans and elected officials on why renewables are the future. To be able to make Nevada the future, the energy capital of the world. That's what we want to see. And we can only do that through education. And so that's what we're going to be doing in the session.
Now, I know that one of the tough things for the legislative branch of government to do is to figure out who to support and maybe who not to support. Are there renewables that you think are going to be pushed forward by folks in the industry that will get more help, that will get more subsidies than, say, others? Will wind get less than solar, for instance?
I actually don't have an answer for that one. I know right now, as we talked a little earlier, the price of renewables are coming down substantially, which makes it even easier and more financially beneficial for MV Energy or some of these co-ops to embrace. Like I said, most of the subsidies, federal subsidies, are going to be running out. Unless the Trump administration or if there's another administration that comes in, unless they change those policies right now, we're going to be seeing renewable subsidies coming to an end within the next 5 years.
What are you learning from other states? You are the Nevada state director. We have problems and assets that are different than other communities, other states around the country. But are you getting any, are you able to go to school, so to speak, to borrow a golf term? Are you able to go to school on some of these other states and learn some of the things that they're doing? Are they doing things different than we are?
Well, we're all trying to drive the same type of policy. And again, that's increasing renewables, good for the environment, good for the economy. But the Western Way isn't just here in Nevada. And so we do have state directors and we have organizations in Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, Washington, Oregon, California. So we're there. So we're actually be getting together in March up in D.C., all of our groups, and again with energy committees at the congressional. And we're actually be kind of pulling all of our ideas together to see really what we can kind of start really doing to drive economic policy and energy policy change in Nevada.
Okay, Blake. So at the end of the day, you've got this lobbying effort that's going to be going on in Carson City. You're going to be going to Washington to talk with federal legislators and regulators. I'm curious what you want to accomplish. At the end of the day, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, what is it you want to see?
So the main thing is we want to be able to see cut the red tape. We want to be able to see permit processing much easier for, let's say, MV Energy or for the co-ops that are around the state. There's so much red tape that, you know, in Douglas County, absolutely love them, but they've made so many different policies where it's impossible for MV Energy to follow those codes to be able to build renewable power plants. So we want to be able to streamline that process. We've got old mines up in rural Nevada that are prime and perfect spots for renewable facilities. They already have the infrastructure. They're not zoned for residential. They're out of sight, out of mind of the community, all while adding anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000 in economic benefit in perpetuity until the plant ends. But we also want to see Nevada become the leader in energy. And to do all this, we have to educate. And that's where we are. We want to be able to see both sides of the parties come together and embrace renewables. And that's our goal.
I want to ask you, are local communities, because sometimes they are very slow to change. And it's very difficult to convince them to change. Are you finding that are you getting blowback from local communities, or are you getting people saying, "Oh, I didn't know that"?
Well, when we released the report on January 16th up in Minden at the Carson Valley Chamber of Commerce, once the community actually saw the economic numbers of what their county could get if they embrace these plants, I think it changed their tune a little. I know their chairman, Bill, said in our article that we had in the Record Courier that when they were presenting these power plants, they should have talked about the economic benefit and they wouldn't have got so much blowback. Renewables have always kind of been the other side of the aisle's pet projects, and Republicans have never fully embraced the full benefits of it. And that's what the Western way, that's what we're trying to change. We are trying to change conservatives' mindsets and actually have conservatives take back the leadership roles in environmental issues, real environmental issues, because we truly believe conservatives are the true environmentalists.
Can you ever see the day when conservatives and liberals will be singing from the same hymnal?
I mean, why can't it be this year? I mean, if you could save your constituents money, you can pollute less, and you can add new economic driving forces in your state that benefit everybody, how can both sides not get behind that?
It sounds like a win-win situation.
I believe it is, and that's what we'll continue to keep doing and educating, and if we'd love to keep coming back and try to give you updates of what's happening in energy policy.
Well, the big thing we want to do is make sure that you come back and give us some information on what's going on in Carson City.
I would love to.
Because right now they're just BDRs. They're just blank slates. But these energy bills are going to be coming up, and it's going to be happening sooner rather than later. You know what's amazing about this is, and we were just talking about the win-win situation, the opportunity to be able to give liberals their green planet and it's a better place to live, blah, blah, blah. And to conservatives to say, hey, it's going to be better for our communities. It's going to raise revenue. It's going to be cost efficient. Everybody gets their piece of the pie.
Everybody gets their piece of their pie. And it should now become a nonpartisan issue. Both sides fully embracing this. I mean, we take a look at our polls. Conservatives support it. We know that the other side supports it. So it's something that we can get behind. And so I look forward to some bipartisan bills, energy bills, up in the session, and I'll gladly keep you informed on them.
That is great. If folks want to know more about Western Way, I'll be honest with you, until a couple of months ago,
yeah,
I didn't know what Western Way was. I know what Western Way is now. But for the folks that don't.
Absolutely. So you can go to thewesternway.org. You can always reach out to me. My email is the Gwynn Agency, so THEGUINNAGENCY at Gmail. And then also, I'll give out my phone number too. If anybody's curious or has any questions, my phone number is 702-540-3311. And I'm happy to answer any energy questions you guys may have.
Blake Gwynn, always good to see you. Great to have you on. First time you've been on the show.
Yes.
You've been behind the scenes.
Always.
You've been giving out T-shirts. You've been doing a lot of fun stuff. Now you're out front, and I'm glad you are.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks so much, man. That's Blake Gwynn from the Western Way joining us live and local now.
My fellow men, it's time to reclaim your love life. Take a stand against ED. No needles, no side effects, no surgery, and no pills. If you've been affected by ED, there is a better way. Call the doctors at Peak Health. Put the spontaneity back in your love life. Call Peak Health today. 702-625-4334. 702-625-4334. That's 702-625-4334 or peakhealthlife.com.
It keeps getting better and better at Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks. Hey, Kevin Wall here. The fun begins every afternoon, 4 till 6:30, with the best happy hour in the Vegas Valley. Mondays are extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Enjoy happy hour all night long. And on Mondays, you get 50% off every bottle of wine under $100. Every day, Rhythm Kitchen features New Orleans-style seafood specialties. Crawfish etouffee, beignets, jambalaya. Like I said, it just keeps getting better and better. Rhythm Kitchen also features a banquet facility. So book your corporate events, birthday, anniversary, holiday parties, or any other celebration. Call Chris at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Great food, incredible five-star service. I just love it. Open every day at 4, serving prime steaks and seafood. Rhythm Kitchen, located on South Decatur, just off the 215.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. In fact, you can enroll up until February 28th for a March 1st effective date. Anyone who's paid on a 1099, has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or is a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casale at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449, and find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cyclery has kids bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
My fellow men, it's time to reclaim your love life. Take a stand against ED. No needles, no side effects, no surgery, and no pills. If you've been affected by ED, there is a better way. Call the doctors at Peak Health. Put the spontaneity back in your love life. Call Peak Health today, 702-625-4334, 702-625-4334, that's 702-625-4334, or peakhealthlife.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
It's not often that we get to talk about issues that are actually bipartisan. Bipartisan. You know, Republicans agree with Democrats. And if there's a, if renewable energy is one of those things where liberals can end up getting their green planet and, you know, saving the planet and all that, it's fine. And guys like me can say, you mean it's going to save me money? That's a very positive thing. Stick around, Rico Aller. We'll find out what's going on out in northern Nevada. We'll do that and more coming up live and local now. I recently Google searched digital marketing companies in Southern Nevada and SoCal, and boy, there's a bunch of them. Hey, Kevin Wall here. So why should you commission Sofa King Creative Group to create and manage your company's website and social media? Well, to begin with, Sofa King Creative Group is one of the fastest-growing digital marketing companies in the two-state area. They provide personalized support to each and every client. I should know, because that's the kind of service I get from Sofa King Creative Group each and every day. If you're in need of a new website, graphic design, social media, SEO, or maybe you need all of the above, give them a call right now. They're standing by to take your call at 702-965-2016. Ask for a free evaluation of your website and your social media. It'll only take a few minutes to do, and again, it is absolutely free. That's 702-965-2016. One more time slowly, 702-965-2016, or check them out at skclv.com.